I'm loaded with excitement. I'll explain why, but let me just get something out of the way quickly. Update you, especially all of you who've been in our lives the last many months, the pastor has mentioned. You've been following close what's going on, and I came a year and change ago with three of my boys. My wife was stuck in Kinshasa in Congo, and she was not allowed to come back because she was a green card holder, and we didn't know the ramification of the law that you can't be outside the country for more than 6 months, and we were in Africa for almost 4 years. So it was an impossible situation. I laid it on your shoulders as the church. You prayed. My wife came shortly after, 2 months after. What you didn't know, or many of you didn't know, is that while waiting in Kinshasa, through the stress of getting through the immigration proceeding, she was expecting, and she lost the baby in Kinshasa. And God brought comfort to our hearts when a few weeks ago, January 27th, He comforted us with a little girl, Abigail. We have four sons, as you know them, and now we have a complete team. She has a friend, and the thing we've been working on that has kept us here for so long is going through the hoops of the immigration, sending forms after forms. That finally came to pass. Quick update is that March 27th, if you have time, at 7:45 in the morning in Concord, New Hampshire, my wife will raise her hand and swear to be a citizen of the United States, joining the rest of the family. I just got to tell anyone here in this room or out there watching via the technology that if you doubt that there's a God who hears prayers, come, let's have a conversation. I've seen day after day God answering specific prayers addressed to Him. And that's not even the beginning of my excitement. I said I was excited, and so is my wife and the children. We have, as of Thursday, purchased our tickets to fly back to Zambia. On April 13th, we're heading back to Zambia. Interacting with fellow missionaries here this morning, I found out that her brother Paul here has a sister on our team in Zambia, Rachel Washer. They were here recently, and it's a small world. And the brother over there going to Zambia sat with me in the cafeteria at Central Africa Baptist College. And we shared a meal together. He fixed the phone I got from here. I couldn't get to work. And I urged him to come back. And I'm thrilled that he's joining us. My excitement tonight and every day of my life for the last 15 years or so is to have the opportunity to share the gospel. The simple gospel we've heard from so many mouths. The passion of Pastor Larry and the other men who've come here championing the cause of the gospel. It's so simple and people desperately need it, but we keep it to ourselves. I don't know how many times it takes to hear it over and over for all of us to respond. As I see the images from far away from the islands, I kept telling myself I would do it all over again. If this was the first time I hear of what God is doing that far, I would do whatever it takes to drop what I'm doing and avail myself. The call, I looked at the website and all the printed material. It's a call that is addressed to all of us. I'm wondering if you can hear that call. When you hear somebody call you, your wife or your son, your daughter, somebody close to you, whether from mouth to ear or by phone or through any other technology, You have a choice to make. When you hear a call, you have a choice to respond or not to respond. There's a number of things you do. One is, you can pretend you didn't hear. And let it, if it's a phone, for instance, let it ring. One of my sons or any of my sons, you may call him doing something in his room. He can hear your voice very well and decide not to respond. He takes a showing up and then he realizes dad is here. Then he responds. Even us grown-ups, sometimes you're so caught up in other things. When you hear somebody calling you, you can pretend not to hear. You can flat out refuse to answer. If it's a phone, for instance, you can hang up if you know if those are salespeople who call. Or you pay attention. It's my prayer as I'm standing here tonight that when you see the word in print or on a Facebook of this church, the driving force of those leading this church is that people, each and every one of us, wake up to the reality that there's so much work to do and few people willing to drop whatever they are caught up in and go. Let me just, before I open the Word of God, call each and every one of you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your family circumstances. It doesn't matter what's your past accomplishments or failures. The call to missions, the call to embrace the cause of the gospel is addressed to you and to me. And we've got to decide. I'll be thrilled, just as I am, to see that brother going to Zambia, to see somebody else here waking up and say, you know what? I've heard it many times enough. I've been doing this and that and that. However important your job or your commitments are, you cut yourself loose from those and you go to a mission field or you join people involved in ministry right here. There'll be more of us out there. This morning I spent the time at that table and I have a list of men in prisons in Zambia. I'll make it a personal business to get on a bus, go to Kabwe, 2 hours from where we are, and meet these people and tell them firsthand that there are people praying for you. I will do that if God helps us to get to Zambia, which He will do as He has done in the last few months. Why am I so excited? Why is my heart beating so fast to carry nothing but the message of the gospel to the people who desperately need it? Why are we going back to Zambia? If my wife stands up and lifts the little Abigail up, she's so tiny. She's going to be barely 2 months and change. We're going to go for her 2 months checkup. From listening to our well-meaning friends, it's a risky thing I'm doing. It echoes what happened in 2010 when we went for the first time. One of our sons, Abel, was 4 months. People, friends we trusted, threatened to take us to the government so they can take the kids away because we're going to expose them to danger. And sure enough, as soon as we arrived in Africa, a week into our time there, Alex, our second born, was passing liquid everywhere. From his mouth to his, he was limp. I got scared. I prayed to God, don't give those people reason who wanted to take kids away. But if it's your will, I cannot pack my bags and head back right now. I'll do whatever is pleasing to you. We networked with another missionary family that had health insurance. We didn't have health insurance. And they took us to the clinic. And Alex is solid and running. And we're excited to go to that place. Why? Because the gospel is critically needed in that part of the world. People are caught up in superstition. People are held captive to things like what I saw this week. A pastor, nicely dressed up in most expensive stuff, but held up in a chair by a man. What he can't step on the ground, he's preaching from people's shoulders. People in wolves in sheep's clothing who are taking advantage of God's people. We determined at Central Africa Baptist College to train a generation of servant leaders who will take the Great Commission throughout Africa. And Zambia is one of countries who are not threatened in any way. It's a Christian nation. Everything goes. We have an open door, an open opportunity to go to prison cells. We train the chaplains on our campus. All the schools in the town where we live and in other cities are open for sharing the gospel. I take our students at Central Africa Baptist College and place them in different schools during lunch hour. And we have plenty of opportunity to bring the gospel to them. One passage of scripture, actually two passages of scripture I want to share with you tonight. I'm not going to do an exposition. I trust for the time I've been here watching Pastor Larry, taking notes, that you in good hands, taking in so much of expositional preaching. I'm going to just read with you a passage and then make a few comments and sort of lay my heart out for a man I admire from the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. He had a passion for something I want to rub off on me somehow. We are all passionate about something, aren't we? I was here wearing clothing from New England Patriots as we're going through this season. I cheered, I stayed up late alone watching some of the games. The New Englanders are passionate about the Patriots, about the Red Sox. But few of us, myself included, are as passionate about championing the gospel as that. Paul had a passion. And let me just start with that one and go to the other passage. From any letters that he wrote to the churches, you can gather, you can muster that Paul had no other business. He had no other purpose for living after he had met with Christ. He wanted to proclaim Christ and nothing else. Proclaim Christ to people who desperately need it. It didn't matter where they were. One of the passages is Colossians chapter 1. If you can go there with me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. It's sort of in the middle of a sentence. You can get the whole argument. Colossians is a very short book. Paul sort of lays out his passion for proclaiming Christ. In verse 28 and 29, he gives what it is that he proclaims. He said, "To whom we preach," of course he's referring to Christ, "warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ." Verse 29, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working which worketh in me mightily." What is Paul proclaiming? If you just go up a few verses prior, Paul was determined, as you read in other letters like the Philippians, where he said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul was committed and passionate to proclaim Christ. And this ought to rub off on us if we're to answer the call God is laying on our hearts through this mission conference this week. We need to purpose in our life at some point to seek ways at whatever capacity, at whatever level we are, to proclaim Christ, or to lend a hand to that process of proclaiming Christ. Another thing I see in those two verses, to whom are we called to proclaim Christ? It's not just to people out there in islands far away. The past few months we've been here in New Hampshire, I did some odd jobs like painting houses, going to senior citizen homes. What Pastor Larry mentions here time and time again, it will hit you like a brick. This is one of the most unchurched places in the country. There's a need for, I saw myself, embracing the ministry in the hospitals, or embracing joining one of the brothers who work in a nursing home, or joining one group here and there. There's so many opportunities to proclaim Christ. Oftentimes, we limit ourselves to our comfort zones. We need to seek ways to proclaim Christ to people everywhere, to everyone in this town, to the colleges down the street, to the hospitals and McDonald's and different places. And how do we do that? In verse 28 still, it's about confronting. We need to present, get people out of the comfort zone by confronting. Verse 27, we preach by warning every man and by teaching. People simply won't wake up, even those who somehow respond to a gospel presentation by somebody without being taught, without being discipled, they will never grow. Some just dwindle back into their old ways. We need to be intentional in teaching people, confronting them from whatever they believe right now, presenting the gospel, presenting Christ to them, teaching them. And how else? In all wisdom. Application is key. You don't go with a formula to everybody and present the gospel the same way. You use tact with different groups of people and present the gospel to them. And we are not alone. We don't have to do that ourselves. We have Matthew 28 where Christ promises to be with you until the end of the ages. And in this passage, I see that too. Paul is laboring and striving according to Christ, which works mightily in him. So Christ is at work whenever you take a chance to share him, whether you use words, which is the proclamation, or you just carry yourself in a way that represents him. You are an ambassador. These are one of the languages Paul uses. You are a soldier, and a soldier has no business being entangled in civilian affairs. So by doing these things, we are answering the call that is laid forward to us. And why do we labor in Zambia, in the islands, and around here? The purpose is to present every man and woman and child perfect in Christ. And that's the purpose for mission conferences and missional activities. I envy this congregation greatly because you're exposed to so much teaching from the Word of God about you see from screens what's happening, what God is doing in the different parts of the world. I just want to comfort you that I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've shared this here before. As a little boy in a village in Congo, it was through a church like this one, when God's people wake up, feel concerned, feel that it's my business, not the pastor's or the leader's business. I have a part in it. You join hands with those who get it somehow. Either you give like you've never given before so that the message can get where it needs to go. Or you do what those ladies are doing. You purpose to pray for the gospel to go forward. Or you consider your next vacation, instead of going to, I don't know, to some cruise island somewhere, consider joining a missionary where they are. Pack your family and join a missionary. See what God is doing. It will be a well-spent vacation. We're doing this because there's a sense of urgency. People everywhere, we see the other passage, I'm just going to read through, are trying. We see this day after day in our context of ministry, somehow to please God by their own doing. They don't know the truth of the gospel that we hear. We know that Jesus Christ came to earth, that he died for their sins. They think they have to do certain things to please God. So Romans chapter 10, you've been going through the book of Romans, is one of my sort of go-to passage to invite you to consider throughout this week, as many missionaries will be doing presentations, as you interact with them at the tables, as you hear the message proclaimed, that you take time to read a passage like this one. It said, "Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel," this is Paul writing about his country, "that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Many people simply are zealous for God. If you came to Africa, for instance, in Zambia and Congo, you won't find the absence of people singing and chanting God, or getting on taxis, finding stickers and tags saying this car is protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. So people know some kind of truncated gospel, but they don't know the true gospel. They try to establish their own righteousness by scoring some point, by doing certain things to please God. Some is by birthright. They think by being born in a certain family, they cut it with God somehow, but they need to hear the gospel. They are being ignorant in verse 3 of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. She fast forward a little bit. In verse 8, they say, but what does it say? The word is near, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth and unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture said, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. In Zambia, we have different tribes. We have 72 tribes. In Congo, there are 242 tribes. And when we present the message of the gospel, we establish that there's no difference between the Luba and the Bemba and the Congo people. For there's no difference between the Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is the task of the church. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So we endeavor, we purpose with as much passion as possible to send out. We are sent out from churches like this one to go to far off places, but even from there, to prepare men and women to send them out to preach the gospel, that there's salvation in no other name except in Jesus Christ. And this is the basis of my excitement, the basis of what we're going to do in Zambia. Just give you a broad idea what I'm personally involved in. I'll be teaching on a college of Central Africa Baptist College under Phil Hunt and Nathan Washer and The new brother is going to join us. There's a handful of us. We have a few men from Zambia who are emerging, who are teaching. My burden, however, is for not so much. We have so few on the campus. We have many pastors in the interior, in Zambia, and across the border, especially in Congo, that have never stepped foot in a place of training to receive biblical training. Since 2007, before I joined the team at TABC, I went into villages and small corners of Congo. I blend in. I look like them. I dress like them. I speak local. I eat local. But presenting them with the opportunity to be trained. We took a 10-course Bible curriculum. And having them sit through training for one whole year, which is a difficult task in Congo because of the tribal differences. 242 tribes, men who would never sit together on any business. But training them and teaching them, I mean, in Christ, who are one person, is one God, one hope. It's been rewarding. We have trained so far by over 600. There's 50 starting a class very soon. And other missionaries in the process have joined. There are missionaries in Lubumbashi in Congo. As of this past week, they had a conference gathering about 300 pastors. And some of the men trained in Zambia who have received so much training are crossing the border. Pastor Saidi, who's the senior pastor of our church, Faith Baptist Church in Riverside, was one of those men who went to Lubumbashi to teach. So we have lots of work cut out for us. And I'm involved in the local church, Faith Baptist Church, Riverside. I champion the cause for mission from Africa. Missionaries are known to be white men with gray hair, coming with lots of kids, and sharing the gospel from overseas. But we're changing that by training local men according to the mandate of the Bible, that we can have missionaries from Zambia, going to Congo, going to villages in Zambia, and that's taking root. So my task is using the senior students at Central Africa Baptist College, zoning a different area of the city of Kitwe and beyond, and planting new churches. And also getting people from our church not to grow comfortable to one another. The church has been in existence for 20 years. And only about 3 or 4 churches have been planted, and they're struggling. So we are pushing hard for people to sacrifice, not staying comfortable with one another, but to join a small church plant any given Sunday and start to strengthen them. That's what we're doing, and we cannot do it without your prayers and your financial participation. It takes money to get on the plane, to get to Zambia, to cross the border into Congo. It takes money to survive there. And even if you never step foot in Zambia, you can go with us. You can go with us by beginning on your knees, remembering that we came here. We shared our hearts with you, and that you continue praying for us. We will continue being in touch. I'll continue being a student of Pastor Larry. And I spent so many precious moments, especially on Wednesday nights, in a smaller circle. I just enjoyed so much watching him pacing across the aisles, touching people by hands and calling them by name. I so much desire that, and we'll carry it to the other land and continue on the legacy. And we'll send updates once in a while to let you know how Abigail is growing. And please keep us in your prayers. Thank you so much for your support over the past few months. And may God bless you. Thank you.
I'd like for you to do something special to close the night. I'd like for you to just close your eyes. I want everyone to close your eyes. With our eyes closed, it's hard to know which direction is north or south or east or west. With our eyes closed, it's really difficult to find our way through life, being totally blind, not being able to see anything. And with your eyes closed, I just want you to be reminded that most of the world, they're blind, morally and spiritually. They don't know the way to heaven. They don't know the way to live a life pleasing to God. And it's our privilege to take the light of the world, the light of the gospel, the light of the scriptures, through our praying and our giving. Heavenly Father, we pray that through this mission conference, there will be no reservation, no hesitation as we sacrifice and give and pray to be able to take the light, your Son, the Lord Jesus, around the world through our giving and praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Alan, his family. Thank you for his testimony tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.